In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
This is Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. What I'm going to be looking at today is, although they hold a form of religion, they deny the power. Okay, so first of all, I'm going to read that we are in the last days. This is 2 Timothy 3. "Understand this, that in the last days there will come perilous times of great stress and trouble." That's right. "For people will be lovers of self." Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest one of all? Me. "Self-centered, lovers of money, aroused by an inordinate desire for wealth, proud, arrogant, contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will have unnatural desires and affections." Yeah, we have in Massachusetts gay marriage. Yeah, that's a oxymoron. Moron. Anyway. Relentless, intemperate, loose in morals, conduct, uncontrolled, fierce haters of good. They will be treacherous, rash, inflated with self-deceit, lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements more than lovers of God. They hold a form of religion, but they deny its power. Now, first of all, I want to express what is the power of true faith and true religion. It's faith working through love. And yesterday I put on you that there were six priests in Regina Clary, which is the old age home for the clergy, who had been accused many years ago of doing something wrong. And the insurance company said that they had to leave. They were a danger. Now, these are old men. 86 years old, 80s, 70s. And so the diocese told them that they had to leave. Now, true religion, I'm going to talk about, must have faith working through love, not faith working through insurance, okay? And I'm going to tell you, what we need to do is to pray for the Archdiocese of Boston, because you see, when you can't stand up for your own, who can you stand up for? You have to pray for the Archdiocese of Boston, because we're on the wrong track. But not only the Archdiocese, this is true for all the dioceses in the United States. This is what the Bishop Conference say. You've got to follow the insurance. Now I'm going to tell you, when you deny the power of faith working through love, you know what God does to you? He washes his hands. You know what Jesus said? When you go into a town and they do not do what you tell them to do, they do not accept the gospel, shake the dust as a reproach against them. Now, I don't want to see the Lord do that to the church. But you see, when you act like that, my Lord, we need to pray for the Church of Boston. And whatever church you belong to, you have to pray for the church you belong to. Because you know what? God sees everything. I was just thinking today of David. David was an older seminarian in his 60s. He wanted to be a priest ever so bad. In his early life, he was a Trappist monk, never ordained a priest. Then he met my friend Dan, and David went into the seminary where he met Dan. We became friends with David. David used to come here for the summer, and he would make vestments. Beautiful, beautiful vestments. About 3 years later, David gets cancer. And he's alone in the seminary. There's nobody there, nobody to help him, nobody to feed him. So I said, you know, you've got to come to my house, because at least you'll have people and we'll care for you. Now, people would say that's extraordinary. No, that's not extraordinary. That's faith working through love. And David, I remember that because today Puccina came. And she was one of the people. We gave David 24-hour nursing service and nursing aid service, okay? This was the Son of God. This is the holy man. This is a man who spent his life on Jesus. Now, we did not do anything extraordinary, you know, but what we did do was we got people to sit with David, to feed David, to change David, to love David. I can't tell you that I did very much. I didn't. I would celebrate Mass. I would bring him communion. But as usual, I'm like a fiddler's elbow in and out. And then David was on his last legs. He was dying. I had gone out with Father Martin to have dinner. And I got a call that David was going to die. And he waited for me. And there I was in the room with him, telling him that we loved him. That we loved him, that we cared for him. And I said, David, I'm going to celebrate the Eucharist now. We're going to all, there was like 25 people in the room. We're going to all celebrate the Eucharist. And as a result of that, as I began to celebrate the Eucharist at the penance rite, Lord have mercy, David went back home to God. Now, I'm not saying this because I think I've done anything great. I'm saying this because that's faith working through love, okay? If a diocese cannot have faith working through love, it should be closed. Any diocese in the United States, any diocese in the world, it's all about faith working through love. And when Pochina came today, I thought of the priests, the six priests, who were thrown out because the insurance company said they had sinned many years ago. Now, whether they did or not makes no difference. But the insurance company said they had to go because they were a threat. They were a big, big threat. So let me tell you this. When do we stand up against the world? When do we start thinking about faith working through love? Now, I'm going to read something else. And I say, you know, please pray for the Archdiocese of Boston, because this is the wrong way we're going. It's a form of religion, but denies its power. And the first power that we deny is faith working through love. And if there's no faith working through love, I'm going to tell you, close the place. Close the place. Listen, the 34th chapter of Ezekiel. Now, I don't know whether the bishops read the Bible, but we get this in the lectionary every once in a while. This scares me, okay? This scares me, because God speaks through the prophet Ezekiel, and it says, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. That's like me. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with wool, you kill the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. The diseased and the weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The hurt and the crippled you have not bandaged. Those gone astray you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. The lost you have not sought to find. But with force and hard-hearted harshness you have ruled them. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for the wild beasts of the field. God speaks to the prophet Ezekiel, to the Old Testament as well as to us, that the shepherds, the bishops, the priests, the deacons, the people, we are to care. We are to care for the broken. And I don't care what they've done. I'm not saying you put them in a parish. I say you care for them, because it's faith working through love. When I heard that these six priests were told that they had to leave, I said, this is by far the sickest thing that I've ever heard, because an insurance company says this. And then I think of Ezekiel 34, you have not cared for the weak and the broken. You know? So what do I say? You need to pray for the Archdiocese of Boston. You know, you need to pray for your own archdiocese, because you know that's the rule of all the bishops' conference. When the insurance speaks, they have to move. And you know, when lawyers speak, they have to move. I'm telling you, when does it come down to faith working through love? Or is it just a form of religion denying its power? It should not be, especially the power of love. You see, love, and we had the reading the other day, love endures all things, hopes all things. Love never ends. Love never ends. You see, I don't want to close the door on anyone. You want to know why? Because love never ends, and Jesus never closes the door on me. And it's very simple to close the door on people who betray you and hurt you. It's very simple. And you've got to get over the hurt. I understand that. But I do not want to close the door on anyone. Because you know what? My Lord Jesus does not close the door on me. I can go to Him in the deepest depths of darkness, and He will always bring me into Himself, the light. Now, I'm not telling you I do it perfect. I do not do it perfect. There's nothing perfect about this man. But I do tell you that I believe what I'm saying. I believe what I'm saying. And I try to live it. I'm not telling you I do it perfectly, but I try to live it. That when the broken come to me, when the needy come to me, when those who have abused me come to me, I have to be Jesus. I have to be Jesus. Not that I'm Jesus, but Jesus has to be working through me. And it's easy to say no. Okay. For they hold a form of religion but deny the power. Okay, most churches, now we're going to go beyond faith working through love now. That's always the basic. But what about the power that Jesus has promised? The power of the Holy Spirit. The power to work miracles. The power to prophesy. The power to bring people into the light. The power of evangelization. What about the power? Most people know nothing about the power of God. They know nothing about the power of God. It's like, I'm your counselor. Listen, I listen to people. I'm always listening to people. But you know what? I have the ability to pray. I have the ability to pray that God would do something. Well, last night, Jimmy was in agony last night. He had a stone rolled against his, what do they call these, kidney stones. And he was in agony. And I saw him, he was on his face before the Lord. So before he went home, we're by the Blessed Sacrament, I said, come here, I want to pray with you. And I felt the pain in my back. My Lord, I felt the pain in my back. And I started to pray. I put my hand on my back and on his back where I felt the pain. And I just prayed in the name of Jesus that this stone would move. Just like the stone that the angels moved at the resurrection. And they moved that stone to let the ladies in, the women in, Mary Magdalene, not to let Jesus out. I said, Lord, move the stone. Move the stone. Even as the angels moved the stone of your tomb to let the women in, move this stone in Jesus' name. We have the power to pray. We have the power to pray. God hears and answers prayer. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the resurrection. And it's not only me. We all have the power to pray and to do miracles. But you see, it's very easy to talk about it, but it's real. And let me tell you, it's very inconvenient because people will call you at all hours of the day and all hours of the night. Got calls today from these poor people. That's all I can say. When I hear it, I said, these poor people, these children that are sick, these poor people looking for a word of encouragement, looking for a word of hope. It's poor people. And I feel so unable many times. But you know what? Here I am, Lord. I come to do thy will. I feel so incompetent. But you know what, Lord? You got nobody else but me right now. And I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. And I'm going to believe you're going to do something because there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the resurrection. And I don't do it perfect, believe me. There's nothing perfect about this man of God. I am a man of God. I don't do it perfect or perfectly. But you know what? I'll lay hands upon people and I'll believe God's going to do it because I can't do it because that's the only hope. Last week I had a beautiful lady come to me with cancer of the lungs, okay? And we prayed with this beautiful lady, believing that God's going to let it wither and that she's going to be healed and she's going to have life and not death. They come after Mass when I'm celebrating Mass, you know, and that's what we did. We prayed for her. We prayed for her. You can't do anything else but pray and believe. A form of religion that doesn't deny the power. And there's power. Because Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, throughout all the ends of the earth. We are living in the day of Pentecost. I believe there is great power. I believe I've not even begun to tap the power that there is. That's where we get it in worship. I just had these three Portuguese beautiful ladies that came, and they come laden with gifts. And I'm not talking about the gifts that they come with. That's nothing. But I brought them into the chapel, and we started to pray, and the presence of God, like these ladies are holy ladies. Like I said, come anytime you want. We'll pray for an hour. They come all the way from Rhode Island. They come all, please don't do that, whoever's talking. They come all the way from Rhode Island. And they come laden with gifts. Laden with gifts. Laden with gifts. And I don't want gifts. But they come. And we pray. And the presence of God was so real. These are holy women of God. Holy, awesome women of God. You know? And they come all the way from Rhode Island to come and see me. Like, give me a break. Who am I? But I know I was in the presence of holy women. I know I'm in the presence of women who love Jesus. Beautiful Portuguese women. Beautiful Portuguese women. We started praying and the presence of God came. And I say, you know, Lord, I'm just so grateful that you bring people like this to me. I'm so grateful that these holy, awesome ladies come to me. I'm grateful. I said, come anytime you want. Just make sure I'm here. And we'll pray for an hour. Because the presence of God comes. Now, some people might think that these women, you know, they're just, you know, they're going to interrupt my schedule. Well, you know what? They did not interrupt my schedule. They made my schedule. They made my schedule. They didn't interrupt me. They made it. They made my day. Holy women of God. See, it's how you look at things, you know. It's how you look at things. Denying the power. Well, I want to tell you, there's no power shortage in the church. There's only a faith shortage. Faith working through love and faith calling upon the power of God to bring healing and deliverance to people. Faith calling on the power of God, believing that God's going to change the situation or the person is going to change. Faith calling on the love of God poured out by the Holy Spirit. There's great power in the church, but you see, you've got to use it. You've got to step out. You've got to get out of the boat. You've got to start praying. You know, I say to people that are priests, I will help you. I'm not telling you I'm a great teacher, but I will bring you into the presence of God so that you can minister the power of God. Why should you have an impotent ministry when God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit? Why should you, as a priest, have an impotent ministry when God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit and to do things, and to do things that your ministry, maybe it's been dead for many years, that God wants to do things? You just need to call me. I'll make time. I'll make time. I'll make time. And we'll pray, and I'll believe that God's going to do great things. And you know what? He will, because he's got nobody else. He's got nobody else. I'm much more than a counselor. When people come to me, I bring it to Jesus. I'm much more than a counselor. I am not a social worker. It's all about Jesus. It's all about faith working through love. It's all about the power of God. And again, I do it imperfect. I do not do it perfectly. I limp when I walk. And I sin, and I need repentance. But I'm going to tell you, there is power that the church is not even delving into. And it is the power of grace. It is the power of the Holy Ghost. It is the power released at Pentecost. It is the power we received at ordination. It is the power received at confirmation. It is the power received at baptism. But you see, people don't even know the power. I remember Eric, when he was prayed with for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he starts seeing visions clearly. Well, you know what? Those visions are real. But you see, they need to be developed. They need to be developed. God gives... when I pray for people and I see something, I see it very, very obscurely. Eric was seeing things clearly. I see things obscurely. He was seeing things clearly. But those gifts need to be developed for the people of God. You see, God wants to do great things. for his people, not, you see, for his people. Ezekiel 34, to tend the sleek, to tend the broken, to tend those that nobody wants, to tend the underdog. God wants to do great things. But you see, nothing happens without a sacrifice. Because the center of our faith is the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross of our Lord. Jesus crucified from the foundation of the world. And oh yeah, people will put you in a box and say, you're the charismatic, you're the kook. You know what? Call me what you want, but I want to live faith working through love. And I call on people to pray for the Archdiocese of Boston. Because throwing out those six priests was not faith working through love. It was the world. It was a form of religion without power. Praying for God to have the church repent and do the right thing. You know, the church expects marriages to be forever. If we expect marriages blessed in the church to be forever, what about priesthood? Like when I do something wrong, I become a pariah. I'm very sorry. It's Holy Mother, the church. The church is to be a mother. A mother, not a tyrant. A mother, not an insurance agent. A mother. Don't call yourself Holy Mother the Church unless you are going to mother people, especially the broken, especially the broken, especially those that nobody else wants. Don't call yourself a mother unless you're a mother. You know, I know mothers that are not mothers. They bring children into birth. They are biological people, but they are not mothers. But a mother tends her children. A mother loves her child. A mother accepts her child. You know, people are in jail, and the mother says, oh, he's such a good boy. He just went wrong. Please. Please. And then the church tells us, take Mary as our model. Yes, under the cross the sword pierced her soul, even as Simeon said. And you know what, not only did Jesus have to forgive us, but Mary had to forgive us, because her son was being crucified for my sins, and she accepts me as a mother. And when people blaspheme against her son, she always accepts them back, even as Jesus says, please don't preach to me unless you're going to at least begin to try to walk it. Don't tell me words that don't mean anything. Words are empty and they'll put me in hell. You see, God will use my words and he will say, you know, you said all these things, but I never knew you. I don't want to hear that on the last day. This is important stuff. And again, I ask you to pray for the Archdiocese of Boston. Please pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for a change of heart. I pray for a change of heart in me and in all of us. I pray the blood of Jesus would bring us back to reality, and that's faith working through love. That's knowing the power of God. I pray God would do something in this diocese that only God can do. Because you know what, Lord? We are on the wrong track right now. We are on the wrong track right now. And I pray for these priests, these six priests. Two of them died. I pray for these six priests. And I pray that you would comfort them and make them happy. And I pray wherever they are, Lord, I know the diocese is supporting them. They are supporting them. But that they would find brotherhood someplace. And that they would know that they're worth something. I don't care what they did or what people thought they did. Because you know what? I believe in the blood of Christ. And I believe in forgiveness. And I believe that Jesus doesn't mark our sins against us. I believe it was Catherine Labouré, or one of the saints, and went to the priest and said to the priest, I had a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a Sacred Heart, whatever her name is, Margaret Mary. And he said, oh yeah, really? If you really had a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to ask Jesus the next time you see him what my sins were in my last confession. She says, okay. You know, she'd be very, very, very innocent. So when Jesus comes to her, and he does come, in bodily form, resurrected, the sister says to Jesus, the priest will only believe when you tell me
his sins in his last confession. And Jesus said to her, go tell the priest that I have forgotten them all. Go tell the priest I've forgotten them all. They've been buried in my blood. Hallelujah. That's real, baby. I don't care what you've done. When we confess our sins and go to confession, the Lord forgets them. It's time to start again. I don't care what you've done, how you've done it. There's nobody hopeless. Go tell the priest. Go tell the priest. Go tell the priest that I don't remember them. Listen, between February 17th and the 23rd, there will be a School of the Holy Spirit, and it will take place at the Espousal Retreat House, and we ask you to come. You have to call this number, 781-209-3120, 781-209-3120, 781-209-3120. Oh, you can come for a day or a couple of days or 3 days. You could just be an observer, a participant, not eat there, not sleep there. Listen, the different prices. You can come for 1 day, for a weekend, 781-209-3120, 781-209-3120. That's the School of the Holy Spirit. And then, I can't forget Jimmy. Today is a beautiful day. They're having a snowstorm in Washington. It's all about global cooling. I mean, warming. Big snowstorm, 2 feet. It's their second one, more than we've ever got. And Jimmy says it's beautiful weather to do roofs. Beautiful weather. 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341 for Jimmy the roofer. Jimmy the what? 617-519-0341. And I need to hear from you, Father Tom. Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. I need to hear from you, Father Tom. Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.
In Season and Out of Season is sponsored by In Season and Out of Season.